The Free Library of Philadelphia is proud to present a podcast from our award-winning author events series, recorded live at the Parkway Central Library on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. To learn more about the Free Library, our unique and inspiring collections, and how your contribution can help our programs and services for the community, please visit freelibrary.org.
Hello! How's everybody doing? Good. All right. We're going to go ahead and get started. My name's Kalayla. I work here in Neighborhood Library Programming. And we are in for a real honor today. But before we get started, a couple of little homeroom announcements. So just like at school, put your cell phones away. No flash photography. Keep them on silent, please. And of course, be respectful. We are, again, in for a huge treat. So please, again, be respectful. And we will have time for Q&A. And we will ask that you fill out some surveys while you're waiting for the book signing, because we'll have that as well. So again, very excited today. So Leslie Odom Jr. has an impressive and lengthy resume of theatrical and musical accomplishments. He's most well known for his role as Aaron Burr in the Broadway musical Hamilton, for which he won the 2016 Tony Award for Best Actor in a Musical, as well as a Grammy for his role as a principal vocalist. But Leslie has been acting professionally since he was 17. He first started in a little musical, maybe some of you've heard of it, called Rent. Since then, he's performed in numerous Broadway and off-Broadway shows. He's a versatile and expansive performer. He has racked up many television roles, including recurring roles in CSI Miami, Person of Interest, and Law and Order SVU. And Leslie performs as a vocalist. His work includes his self-titled debut album, which charted at number one on Billboard Jazz, as well as Simply Christmas, and you might have recently heard him at singing America the Beautiful at the Super Bowl. So, and that's fitting, of course, because Leslie is from Philadelphia. He hails from East Oak Lane in Philly. He attended Masterman and Kappa. So, yeah. Leslie is married to actor Nicolette Robinson, and he has a baby daughter named Lucille. So everybody, please give a huge round of applause to Leslie Odom Jr.
Hi.
Would you mind maybe just giving us a little, maybe just a read a couple of paragraphs, just to sort of give people a feel for the book a little
sure.
bit, just a minute or two?
This is, do you guys want to hear a little bit about the Hamilton? You want to hear from the Hamilton section? Okay. I'll read from that a little bit. I have two chapters in this book on Hamilton. They're towards the end. We make you wait for it a little bit, but I'm happy that I took some time to write the book because I needed some distance. I needed some space away from it to write about it with clarity. You know, so it took me a while, but I'm happy that it did. So I start this chapter. It's called Hamilton Act One, Our Town. I included this quote that says, "An artist spends their whole life trying to get back to the place where their heart was first opened up. 20 seconds, 8 bars. That's how long it took in July of 2013 to feel the irrepressible tug of history in the making. The lights had barely gone down on the first ever staged reading of the Hamilton mixtape at a festival of new works on the Vassar College campus in Poughkeepsie, New York. The reading started, and in a blink, I was transported right back to that record store in Philadelphia where I first heard the entire Rent cast album, standing on my feet at a listening station, the place where my heart had first been opened up. I knew right then that I had indeed been waiting for my whole artistic life to feel the feeling once more." Blah, blah, blah. I say, Hamilton seemed to have a healing and disarming emotional power from the outset. During more than a year and a half of readings and rehearsals, I witnessed the reactions of hardened, jaded professionals from various facets of the entertainment business as they reconnected with childlike wonder and sometimes tears, as I had the first time I saw it. Love was my way into Lynn's work and to Aaron Burr. I didn't feel the need to approach Burr as a villain. That wasn't how Lynn approached him in the writing. Anyone who writes a character or a song like Dear Theodosia, or Wait For It, is not looking at that character as a villain. Burr and Hamilton were close from the start. They had come up together, they respected each other, and different as they were in temperament, they had a lot in common. At 19 years old, neither would have believed they'd end up on those dueling grounds more than 25 years later.
Thank you. Sounds so much better when you read it than when I read it, than when I'm hearing it in my own head. You just, yeah.
You can call me. I'll read it to you anytime.
I will take you up on that.
Okay.
I'll be like, Leslie, I'm having a bad day. Can you read?
Yes. The answer will be yes.
So I want to talk about, so the title of this book is, of course, called Failing Up. And so this really is a book. I mean, throughout this book, this is a book about failure, and not just any failure, but as you put it, spectacular failure. I almost think of it like failure with jazz hands, like fail.
Yeah.
And so can you talk a little bit about why you wanted to frame your book around the idea of failure?
Because I think that we spend a lot of time, it's understandable, but we spend a lot of time looking at the tree. You know, I mean, you know, we look at everything above ground, the success, and the, you know, we performed at the White House. We, you know, every single night there was somebody in the theater, you know, Steven Spielberg, Oprah, Beyonce, Jay-Z. I mean, you know, all these people, you know, come to see the show and pointed a spotlight on the show. But there's a whole lot of roots under that tree. You know, Lynn spent 6 years writing it. I just went to D.C. I went to the Kennedy Center to see In the Heights. They're doing a reading of In the Heights, and Anthony Ramos was starring in it, and Stephanie Clemens directed it. Hamilton fans know who I'm talking about, but that's part of the roots of the tree. You know, that was Lynn's first show. So I wrote the book to the question that I get asked the most by young people. I talk to young people a lot, mostly college kids, is how do I get started? You know, how do I begin? How do I sort of find my way to the world that you're in? And so I just wanted to basically answer that question. I tried to do it in as few pages as possible. I didn't want it to be prohibitive in any way. You know, I didn't want it to feel like a drag to read. I tried to make it move fast and just get to it.
And it does move fast. It moves fast, and it's easy to reread. It's easy to take back moments that you need at a particular time. I want to also talk about the role of preparation. I feel like so your first role, your first professional role that I mentioned in the was Rent, and that was something that you felt like in some ways you'd been preparing for years for a moment that may or may not come. Can you talk, you know, there happened to be an open call and you went and then you went to another call and you sang from the score, but you'd been practicing that score to yourself. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, my first professional role was probably actually right here in Philadelphia. I started training at Freedom Theater. You guys know about the Freedom Theater? My very first teacher from Freedom Theater is here in the front row. Miss Maureen is right here. But so my first job was in Black Nativity. The production was at the Arts Bank, you know, not too far from here on Broad Street, Broad and South, right, I think. And I was hired to be in the children's chorus or something, and they paid me $75 a week. So that was the first time I ever earned a weekly check as a performer. And I thought, I mean, $75 a week was, I mean, it might as well have been $1 million a week. I thought that that was like, you know, I just couldn't believe that somebody was going to pay me to do this thing that I loved so much. So if I could boil the whole book down into a sentence, it's really just that. It's like whatever the world is that you dream about, if it's sports, if it's medicine, if it's law, if it's the arts, whatever the world is that you dream about being in, it is as simple as this. You love it. Mm-hmm. That's all you have to do. You read about it, dream about it, talk about it, find other people that love it too. You just keep walking toward that thing. You love it with your whole heart, and eventually you will find your way into that world. It's inevitable. And it's not always in the way that you expect, but it's in the way that you need. You'll maybe you don't end up on the court, but you end up a sports agent, or you end up an announcer, or you end up a coach, or, you know, but you will find your way into the world that you love. When I was learning all the words to Rent and singing the songs on the C bus, you know, on the way to school, and, you know, dreaming about, I was, you know, just thinking about and loving this show. I didn't know when or how I'd find myself in the production, but they came to Philly and, you know, they were having an audition, and I went to the audition like on a lark, you know, just kind of like, well, they're here, you know, I want to audition eventually, you know, maybe I'll make that today. And 3 months later, I was in New York City on Broadway in the show that I loved. And that's only because I had spent by that point, you know, 4 or 5 years loving it, you know? So I was really prepared. So it's really as simple as that. I hope you'll read the book, but you don't even have to read the book. I just gave you the most important lesson of the book right here today. That's it.
I think y'all should read the book because it's awesome. That's just my take. I don't know. But
there's other stuff in the book. There's other stuff. You know, but that's the most important. You know, I really try to keep it simple. I try not to make it more complicated than it needs to be, because it's not that hard. It'll take a lot of hard work, right? It takes a lot of hard work, but the path is sort of simple. You know, as long as you love the thing with your whole heart, and you keep putting one foot in front of the other, you end up the places that you're supposed to be, and you'll have a lot of fun on the way there.
So going along with that, the idea of it seems like there's throughout this book, there's an element of talent, which it was very clear from an early age that you knew you had and that others around you knew you had. But then there's also the element of hard work. When you talk about coming down from Rent, you did Rent for 3 months. You were filling in at age 17. That's insane when I think about being 17 in a cast of 20-something-year-olds. I mean, that's crazy. But you come back, and you learn that you had to build the stamina to do those sorts of shows. You came back, it seemed like you were ill when you came back. You were just sort of, and that you lost your voice at one point. So you had to learn how, you talked about learning the stamina and learning how to protect your voice. Can you talk about the element of talent versus hard work? Can you?
Oh, I love that you asked about that. I think that what I've learned, and you know, this is key. If you want it, this is key. You know, talent is something. Talent is nice, but talent is not everything. You know, talent is where you know you're given something when you get here. You know, when your mom and dad are like this, when you get here, you're given something. To whatever degree you're given it. Some people, you know, have some athletic talent. Some people, you know, you got a good brain. You can solve puzzles. You know, you read early. Some people can sing a little bit, dance a little bit. Talent is, you know, there's something that you're given at the starting gate. But it's not everything. I'll say I've seen people with less talent than me far surpass me because they work hard. The same way that somebody that's given a tremendous amount of talent, somebody that's very gifted, you know, I've seen those people kind of, you know, retire early, leave the business early, because if you don't have that drive, if you don't marry that talent with some hard work, with some perseverance, you know, there's people that are less talented that can lap you. So talent is important, but, you know, I'm sure you've seen it. You know, there's people that you go to school with that are gifted, but you know, you can. It's very easy to let that atrophy. It's very easy to let that to think you can coast on that, and in the long run, it's a mistake. So it's nice to have talent. It's much, much better to persevere.
Do any thoughts come to mind as far as times, specific times when you might have thought, oh gosh, I need to work harder at this, or my talent isn't quite carrying me the way that I want it to?
Yeah, I was, you know, when I was in my 20s, and I believed there was a certain kind of performer, there was a certain kind of work that I enjoyed, a certain kind of work that touched me. And I thought that I was incapable of that. I thought that other people, that's amazing. I love that thing, but I don't really do that. I do this other thing, you know, that's, you know, it's okay, but it's not as good as that. I'll never be as good as, you know, this artist that I admire or that. And, there was this thing where I was very easily and often inspired by other people's work, but I was never inspired by my own. You know, I was bored with my own stuff. And I made a change. It's really about hard work. You know, there was a lot more work that I needed to be putting in behind the scenes to make that happen. I mean, I've never worked as hard on anything as I did on Hamilton. You know, I thought that, you know, well, Lynn's been working on it for 6 years. You know, I got to catch up. You know, I got to try to get on his level. You know, so in my mid-20s that clicked. Maybe, hopefully, it'll click a little earlier for some of you. That'd be nice.
Can you talk a little about what was involved? I mean, I can't imagine the vocal range, the physicality, the contextual learning that you had to learn to get to the point to be Aaron Burr in Hamilton. I mean, to do this show after show after show after show. I mean, how did you train? Did you eat your Wheaties? I mean,
Yeah, I ate my Wheaties for sure. And you know, there's physical demands. It's, you know, it's like being a professional athlete. You got to work out, you got to eat right, you got to get your rest, you know, get your sleep. But I was so inspired by the material, like so many of you. Any Hamilton fans out there? Straight up Hamilton fans? Okay, word. Any people who haven't heard it yet, or any non-Hamilton fans? Word. Any people who've heard it and don't like it? You don't like it. I love that. You're not into it. Yeah. He was like, I can't. No. Yeah, I don't really like it. I dig it. Well, you know, I liked it. I was a fan of it. And so I wanted to be good at it. So I read about Burr, and I was inspired by the music that Lynn had written. So yeah, I liked it.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like. It turned.
Well, not for my brother right there. He doesn't think that there's a lot to like in it.
Yeah. And that's okay. I mean,
that's, you know, all right. That's all right.
We like. Yeah. So I do want to talk, speaking of I want to talk about the idea of relationships, because I feel like that's another cornerstone in your book. It's another thing that you keep coming back to. You start off with talking about your teachers, and a couple of teachers in particular. You go on to talking about relationships, mentors, Bill Porter,
Michael McElroy?
Yeah. Yes. And your father-in-law.
Stuart yeah. Robinson. Yeah.
Yeah, and even personal relationships, friendships, your wife, talk about how the importance of relationships, because what I got from it was relationships are important, but also building in the space in your life to accept what they can offer, and to be a friend to people, and to give back. I mean, that's sort of what I got, but maybe I was reading it wrong.
I just think that no, you weren't reading it wrong at all. I just think that there's you know, for everybody in here, you know, I think that there are two or three people in your life who you can identify who want you to survive, who want you to win. And so identify those people and hang on to them. You know, have their, when you graduate from high school, make sure you have their email addresses or their phone numbers or their Facebook. You know, have a way to contact these people so that you can stay in touch with them, and you know, keep track of yourself. You know, it's somebody that's going to hold you accountable if things, you know, should you go by the wayside or if things get tricky, you find yourself in a tricky spot. You can lean on these people who will know your history. Identify the two or three people. I hope it's many, many more than two or three, but the truth is all you need is two or three. The truth is all you need is one, a good one. But there are people around you right now that care about you and want you to survive. And it's hard out here, so you'll need them. You'll need those people.
And that's something that you mentioned in your book. You said something specifically like, there are those two or three people. And it was written in such a way that it made me reflect and it made me take a moment, put your book down and think about that. And I hope that everybody here takes a minute and thinks about that too. Those two or three people, hopefully three people who are championing you, because we don't go it alone. And that's something that you emphasize time and time again in your book. Another thing that I really was struck by was the idea of risk, because that I think that we're taught to be risk adverse. And this goes back to failure. This goes back to our fear of failure. And you talk about this. We're taught in school to not take risks. We're taught to, sometimes even our parents or our families encourage us to not go out on a limb. There are a lot of risks that you open up about in your book. Even the Rent audition, for instance, when you went in, you sang a song. They had asked for pop, I think, or rock, and you sang something that wasn't quite either one. There was a piece that you were doing with one of your mentors, Billy Porter, and he wanted you to take it up to a 10. Mm-hmm. And you wanted to prove to him that you couldn't take it up to a 10, so you took it up to an 11, thinking he would be like, whoa, no. And instead, it was what he wanted. And then there was the Marlon Wayans piece that you mentioned where you said, I'm going to go into this comedy audition, and
She likes Marlon. She's happy you said Marlon.
Yeah, I mean, even just the name, you think I'm supposed to laugh here, but because it's comedic genius. But you went in thinking, wow, this isn't something that I've done. I don't know how to do this, so I'm going to play it in a way that works for me, and I don't know if this is going to work.
Yeah. Did they do the March for Life here in Philly? And how many of you did it? How many of you did the March for Life? Okay. A few. I think that we see real examples of risk and putting yourself on the line from your generation, and I'm encouraged by it. I mean, you know, the truth is, you know, you're gonna have to fight for your life, you know, and I'm gonna have to fight for mine, you know, and that will come in, you know, big ways and small ways, but you're gonna have to fight for your life. You know, you're going to have to stand up for the things you believe in, and those moments will come, and they always will require risk. They always will require risk. You know, there's going to come a moment where you're going to be required to take a stand for yourself, and I hope you choose yourself. You know, they're not easy. They're not easy moments. I talk in the book, too, if I can. I talk about your yes and your no. You know, I think it's a really interesting thing. You know, with my daughter, I have a little baby girl. She's a year old, and she does this thing now where she's learning. You know, she's learning no. She's finally learned how to shake her head. And so you ask her, you know, Lucy, can I have a kiss? Lucy, can I have a hug? And it's very, very cute when she does it. And so people in the family were, you know, asking her to get her to shake her head, and then they would, you know, grab her and give her a hug or grab her and give her a kiss. And I said to my wife, you know, we really need to stop that. We have to tell people in the family that if Lucy says no, she's one. But if Lucy shakes her head no, she needs to know right away that, like, we respect that. You know, we're not gonna, you know, so if that's not what you mean, then don't say it. But if you mean it, we need to teach her at one. If you mean it and you say no to somebody, they have to listen to you. And so if we want a hug or a kiss, like, we shouldn't ask. If you don't want the answer, you know what I mean? Give her a hug, give her a kiss. But, you know, owning your yes and your no is going to be, you talk about risk. I mean, yes comes easy a lot. It's not that difficult to say yes to a lot of things, but no is trickier. No is harder, a definitive no. But you are going to have to get comfortable with that. You know, practice now, you know, own your integrity, use your voice. You say no when something does not feel right and it doesn't feel, you know, it bucks against your integrity. You say no and you get up and you walk out of a room. That is not an easy thing to do, is what I'm saying. Sometimes that in itself is a risk. It's a private protest, a private risk that you'll take, but you'll have your integrity. You'll be able to look yourself in the mirror. You'll save yourself a lot of heartache if you can learn how to say no.
That is, I think that's the biggest thing that I took, and I have some friends back there who are like, yeah, you should be taking notes on that, because I struggle with my yeses and my nos and owning those. So the concept of lead with your humanity was we're going to wrap up in a minute or two, but the idea of lead with your humanity was something that you came back to over and over again. Can you talk a bit about that, and then we'll open it up to question and answers?
Any artists out there, any performers, actors, actresses? I love it. My people. Hi, good to see you. Good to see you. Yes, yes. Yes, more hands going up. Yes, yes. A fist went up. well, I think that intention goes a long way, and that's really in whatever you do, whatever you're pursuing. You're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna fall short. You know, like my book is I read the audiobook recently. I read it from top to bottom, and if I had another week, there's a sentence or two I would change. There's a, we missed that typo, you know. But the intention, I think, you know, goes a long way. My performance in Hamilton, I got the Tony Award, you know, but that didn't mean that it was the most perfect performance. But my intention, I think, is what carried me over, you know. So when I say lead with your humanity, I just mean, you know, when you step on a stage, when you grab a microphone, what is your intention? Is your intention to get praise, to get a little glory, to get a little love for yourself? Is that your intention? Or is your intention to move somebody? Is your intention to leave somebody with something, to give somebody something, to give of yourself, to make a difference? If that's your intention, it doesn't mean you'll always, sometimes you're going to fall short, but the right intention is what I'm talking about. So with Burr, you know, I wasn't up on the Hamilton stage trying to, like, be a star. Like, that's not what I was about. I was trying to connect with my castmates. Mm-hmm. I was trying to be respectful and have, you know, as much reverence as I could for this material. And I wanted to have an experience with the audience. So that's what I mean about lead with your humanity. What is your intention?
So I think this is a good segue into questions from the audience. We have two people with mics, if you are interested in asking a question, then...
Hi, Mr. Odom Jr. It's a pleasure to meet you, by the way.
Tell me your name. I want to know everything. Your name, what grade you're in, what school you go to.
So I go to Community Academy.
Can we give her some respect, please? That'd be great. Can we give her some respect? Thank you.
I go to Community Academy of Philadelphia. I'm a ninth grader, and my name is Isabella Vasquez Janik. And my question is, some of us were also thinking this, if you could sing just a little part of Hamilton.
Okay, thank you, Isabella. I did like you until you asked that question. I thought that we were friends. Dear Theodosia, what to say to you? You have my eyes, you have your mother's name, and when you came into the world, you cried, and it broke my heart. I'm dedicating every day to you. Domestic life was never quite my style when you smile. How's that?
Oh my God! Thank you so much!
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Hi. Yeah, man.
Hi.
Hi.
Maxwell LeBron, also from Community Academy. I'm a 10th grader. So, as you know, you're a performer. And when people talk to me about being a performer, they're just like, oh, yeah, the hardest part is being the audition process. But I want to know, what was the hardest part for you?
The hardest part for me was eventually got to be the instability part of it. You know, the up and down, it's a freelance lifestyle. Even if you're not a performer, there's going to be some of you in here that live a freelance lifestyle. That, you know, what I mean is, you know, you don't have a job necessarily, you know, you don't work at a company and get a paycheck every week. You kind of, you know, you have short stints of employment. And so that got difficult. And long story short, a mentor of mine gave me some great advice. I was sitting at home and waiting for the phone to ring. I was sitting at home waiting for things to come to me. And he taught me how to go and grab things for myself and really self-generate. So that was the hardest thing for me. Okay. Thank you, Maxwell. Yes, sir.
My name is Amar Jenkins.
Amar.
I go to Fittler Academics Plus School.
Did you say which one?
I went to Fittler Academics.
Fittler?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that school.
And I'm in seventh grade. And my question is, based on the book called Falling Up, when did you learn this kind of, like, it's good to, like, fall down sometimes?
Well, Amar, the book's called Failing Up, not Falling Up. So that's first. I'm kidding. It's okay. It looks like an L if you look fast. I know. I don't get mad. When did I learn that? I learned that, you know, on the path. I learned that while I was following my dream. And you're going to learn it too. You know, you're going to... It's about experimenting. It's about trying things out, you know, especially when you're following the thing that you love. If you are on the... What is it that you love? Is it science? Is it sports? Is it math? What is it that you love?
It's math.
Math! You know, somebody's going to give you, if they haven't already, some teacher's going to give you a really complicated problem, a really challenging thing to figure out, and, you know, you're gonna quite possibly get it wrong many times before you get it right. But eventually you'll get it right, and that's what it's about. Thank you, Lamar. Yes.
So, since you're from the city of Philadelphia, which is known for, like, different people that is involved in different music. So, like, some people write poems and some sing and play instruments. Do you think that that plays a role in, like, all your different occupations?
Yeah, the fact that I'm from Philadelphia, you mean?
Yes.
Are you kidding? Absolutely. Yeah, for me, I mean, you know, Philadelphia, for better or worse, you know, what I think is hot, what I think is good, you know, my taste was developed in Philadelphia. So, you know, there's a song on my album, you know, this song that I do, Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out, that I was introduced to in Philadelphia. So, yeah, I'm always trying to make Philly proud. I'm always trying to do something that Philly would think is good, that Philly would find credible. So I think it played a major role in who I am, because I'm, you know, what I think is good, I got from Philly.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Tristan. I'm in eighth grade, and I'm also from Fittler. My question is, who is Hamilton?
Who is Hamilton?
Yes.
The answer is Alexander Hamilton. He was our country's first Treasury Secretary. Secretary of Treasury. Did you know that?
No.
You didn't know that. Well, he was a fascinating guy. He's a fascinating guy, partly because, America didn't exist in the way that it does today. Hamilton was one of the founding fathers, I mean, which meant, you know, that America had to fight for their independence from the British. Well, America was owned. You know, we were not America. We were an owned part of England. And first, we had to fight for our independence, and Hamilton fought in that war. And then we had to decide, you know, so after you wrestle your independence back from Britain, you get your freedom. Well, now we have to decide, well, who are we? What kind of government do we want to have? Do we, you know, we fought that war for taxes. So do we want to pay taxes in this country? Who are we? And Hamilton was the brilliant mind, really, that set up our whole financial system. So he's a fascinating guy. I hope you'll learn something about him. Maybe you'll listen to the show, too. The show teaches you a lot about him, too. Thank you. Great question. Yes?
Since you have, like, so many talents, you write, you act, you sing, what is your favorite talent, and how long did it take you to discover it?
You know, the thing that I like about Broadway is, you know, when I grew up, I had never seen a Broadway show. You know, Broadway was very expensive. It still is. So, like, my parents, I didn't grow up seeing Broadway shows and stuff. I grew up singing. I sang in church. I would take acting lessons at Freedom Theater. I'd take dance classes over in West Philly at Philadelphia. The thing that I, once I discovered Broadway, the thing that I liked was that it was a place where I could do all of the things that I liked. You know, Hamilton stage, I got to do everything that I do. So, the musical theater is what, you know, I like the most. And it took me about 20 years to get good at it. but I don't say that to, I hope that doesn't discourage anybody. It's going to take you 20 years to get good at anything, and that's okay. You're going to live a long life. You're going to live a long, long life. And so it's not about being good at it right away. It's just about having fun. You know, you have fun on the path, and then one day you wake up and you're where you want it to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, sweet. Yes.
My name is Amira, and I'm from Fittler. All right, what's your favorite part about being a book writer, singer, actor, or that stuff?
My favorite part is that I got to meet you today. That is my favorite part. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Natalia, and I go to Philly Academics Plus, and I am in eighth grade. And my question is, when you sing rap poems and all that stuff, have you had stage fright?
Of course, yeah. I always have stage fright. Do you write or read any poems? You don't? Because why? You're saying she does do that? Oh, no, you didn't say that. Sorry. You don't perform at all? Okay. Why were you curious about the stage fright, if I can ask?
Scared.
Oh, you guys? No, I feel like I'm home. I feel like I didn't have to be afraid of this place, but there's times where I walk into, you know, there are rooms that I walk into where I have been afraid. And, you know, again, for me, what I focus on is, you know, intention. Why am I here? You know, if I can focus on, you know, I'm here to touch somebody, I'm here to move somebody, it gets me past the fear and into something greater. But no, I'm not afraid of y'all. Should I be?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Yes?
My name is Brianna, and I'm from Fittler. So in your book, you talk about, like, all the things you went through to get to where you are, right?
Yes.
Is there anything that you left out of the book that you wish you could have put in?
I don't think so. I think I put in the book... She said, is there anything that I wish I could have put in that I had to leave out? You know, I wish that there were some more, maybe there were some more names that I could have mentioned. You know, I really tried to keep it, you know, lean and simple. There's a couple people that I don't mention by name that I wish I could have. But other than that, I tried to really include the essential stories, the things that I think, the defining moments of my life. I'm 36. That's not that old. Does that seem old to you guys? Is 36 old?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay. Okay, so she's a 70s old. Well, yeah, I feel like I'm still young, so I tried to include the, you know, the six or seven defining moments. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Victoria. I'm from Community Academy Philadelphia. I'm in 10th grade. And I was going to ask, this was kind of playing off the last question. How do you get over your stage fright? Like, what do you do?
How do you get over your stage fright? Practice. Practice will do it. You know, I was nervous. I sang America the Beautiful before the Super Bowl. And that I was very, very nervous for that. I sang right before Pink. I was nervous. How do you get... But I leaned on my practice. I had, you know, I performed at the White House with Hamilton. I performed, like I said, you know, all those amazing people that would be at the theater. And so... enough of those moments in your life, you get enough of those under your belt, and you feel like you can do anything. It's like I performed for President Obama and the First Lady. It's like I feel like I can perform for y'all. If I did that, yeah. I feel like I can do this. You know?
Thanks.
Thank you.
First, you are looking 22, not 36. I would just say that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And my name is Annie Nguyen. I go to Community Academy. I'm a sophomore. But my question is, I'm an athlete and I like to sing. I'm in choir. And I face like numerous amounts of obstacles. Can you give me some advice like how to face that, you know?
Well, share with me an obstacle. I would love to. Like, what do you mean?
Well, for sports, I would say I struggle a lot with running. Well, I'll start with singing. I would say I struggle with stage fright, like she said earlier. But for sports, I would just say getting in front of the whole bleachers, everyone staring at you, and like that peer, like that pressure you have to deal with.
Yeah, that's your own. That's going to be your own private revolution.
Yeah.
Would you say your name once more time?
Annie Nguyen. Annie.
Annie.
Yeah.
Annie Nguyen.
Annie Nguyen.
Nguyen. Spell it.
My first name or last name?
Last name.
Nguyen.
Got it. Annie.
I'll sing it if I have to.
Oh, sing it.
Annie. It's like, no.
Yeah. It's like, no.
Nguyen. I'm kidding.
I think that, you know, those private struggles, those things that are your own personal issues, right? We all have them.
Yeah.
That's your own private revolution, and it takes courage, mm-hmm. and it takes time, you know, and maturity and patience with yourself. But you will work that out. You know, just practice and courage.
So like practice in front of a group of people.
Of course,
definitely. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
How are we doing on time? Okay. Somebody's watching the clock, right? Okay.
Before I introduce myself, I'm really like obsessed with you and I love you. Not to sound like a stalker or anything,
it's all...
but anyway, my name is Alexis Sarr and I also go to Community Academy. So my question was going back to your talking about risk. How do you know when a risk is worth it and like when a risk is a good risk?
It's a great question. I, the reason why Miss Maureen is here, you know, I really leaned on. I had some mentors in my life, I had pretty good parents, you know, not perfect parents, but I had, you know, parents. So I'm just saying that to say, how old are you, if I can ask?
16.
You know, I think for a few more years, you know, while you're still, and this is not a bad thing, you're still sort of figuring out who you are. You're still figuring out the things that are important to you. You're still developing your compass. So, and I still ask for advice and help today, believe me. But while you're still figuring that out, you ask for help. Ask for advice from people that you trust, you know, to hear those opinions, because you're learning how you're going to make decisions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but the thing is like I have so many interests in different things that don't really assimilate into one job or like something.
That's okay. You're 16. You're 16. I would say, you know, keep walking down the path and exploring them all. As far as knowing what risks to take and what risks not to take, I think that, you know, I was 16 when I auditioned for Rent, 17 when I went into Rent. I was around 18 when I had, you know, I was faced with the big decision of whether I was going to do this Broadway show Aida or whether I was going to stay in school. That was a big risk either way. You know, am I going to turn down a Broadway show and go to college, like, you know, or am I going to leave school and go do this thing? And I had to ask for help to make that decision. I would know how to better make the decision for myself today, but ask for help still. Okay. From people you trust.
Thank you. I love you. Bye.
Yeah, love you too. Yeah. We have time for three more questions. I'm so sorry.
Hello, sorry, yes. My name is Diana Taveras. I'm a junior at Community Academy. And I would like to know, like, what was your biggest obstacle on being a performer?
My biggest obstacle on being a performer what's my biggest obstacle? My biggest obstacle...
Like, it could be family related, like, anything that you missed.
Yeah. Something. I mean, there's been so many obstacles, and then from where I stand today, though, it's like they all fade by the wayside. Because again, what's your name again?
My name is Diana.
Diana, and what's the thing that you love? Do you right now? What's the thing that you love?
I mean, it's like I like going to school because I learn, but it's like a lot of things that I like. I do sports, I dance, and there's like a lot of passions that I have. But once like I stopped doing it for a while, like, they kind of, like, fade away, and it's, like, something new all the time. But
yeah, which is okay.
As of right now, I just like being with people, communicating with people, and just helping people out.
Beautiful. I think when you are plugged into the thing that lights you up, when you are plugged into the thing, it's like, man, this is fun. I like this. It's not hurting nobody. Right. I'm not hurting myself. Like, I like this. You know, what I mean is, like, obstacles, like, what's that? You know, like, if, you know, I'm doing this thing, like, you know, when they called me to go to Rent, for, and I was a pretty good kid sometimes, but, you know, when they called me to take that, to offer me the job when I was 17, so I'm not technically an adult, you know, I asked my parents out of respect, right. But I was like, I'm going, like, whether,
no matter what.
Like, no matter what y'all say, you know, it's like, They supported me, of course, but I mean, you know, when you're following your passion, you're following your bliss, again, if it's not hurting nobody, it's not hurting anybody else, and it lights you up. It's like, this is how I want to live. What's an obstacle?
Right, they become irrelevant.
They're irrelevant. Okay. What's
Thank
an
you.
Obstacle? Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Karina. I'm from Community Academy. My question was that in your book, you said we had to trust the closed door. And my question to you is, what closed doors did you have to trust to, like, not open or knock down those barriers?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the first ones was, so after Rent, I'd gotten that, you know, I'd done that big show. I think I'm, you know, kind of hot. You know what I mean? I'm 17. And I applied to colleges. And I, you know, I thought I would get in everywhere I applied. I had a, you know, pretty good transcript, pretty good resume. And I didn't get into my top choices. Like, I wanted to be in New York. I wanted to go to Fordham University, or I wanted to go to NYU, and I didn't get into either one of them. I'm sure they're mad now. I hope they're mad now, but they didn't let me in. They didn't let me in. And, you know, Carnegie, the place that I went, ended up being the best place for me. So you might be in a situation where you're looking at colleges and you don't, you know, you might try everything, and it's like, I can't quite make it to the school that I wanted to, or like that first choice. I didn't, there's nothing I can do, like, they didn't let me in. It was disappointing, but in those moments, you know, after you've done all that you can, after you've tried all that you can, you deal with that disappointment and you trust the closed door, you know, because if you got to bang too hard, you know, you got to bang your head against it to get it open, it's not for you, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck. Yes.
Hi,
is this number three? Okay.
No. My name is Ariana, and I was wondering, I know that you played in Rent. Who did you play, and what was your favorite thing about playing them?
I was in the ensemble. Do you know the show?
Mm-hmm.
I played Paul. How do you feel today? So I played Paul, and I understudied Benny. And my favorite thing about it was that it was my favorite show. Like, if you would have asked me as a kid, what is your wildest dream? Like, what, you know, the Super Bowl. I want to win the Super Bowl. I would have said, I want to be in Rent on Broadway. How old are you?
I'm 15.
13? No, 15. Because I was 13, you know, 13, 14, 15. That's what I would have said when I was your age. If somebody said, what is your wildest dream? Tell me. What is it?
To be a dermatologist.
I love it. Wildest dream. Yeah, so when I was in Rent on Broadway, I was like, I'm a dermatologist. It just felt so good. And so, yeah, everything about that was fun. I can't wait to come to you for my skin problems. You're going to do great. Thank you guys so much. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Free Library of Great Conversations. If you live in Philadelphia or are planning a visit and would like to attend an author event, information on the series is available at freelibrary.org/authorevents.